I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss the upcoming election, T-SPLOS projects, the Firefly Trail opening, and the future impact of alternate transportation infrastructure, as well as the amphitheater versus arena battle. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Blake Odd with Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, and District 3 Commissioner Melissa Link. Welcome, everyone. We might as well start with this election coming up. We are less than a week away, just a few days away from deciding some races in our special election.
Right, and it's election day's Tuesday, and we've got two state house races on the ballot for part of Clark County and Oconee County, as well as the T-SPLOST. And there have been a couple of developments in the District 117 race that have been kind of interesting. There was a forum, I guess, about a week and a half ago with the Library Federation of Neighborhoods Forum, where my intern, Nate Harris, noticed that Houston Gaines, the Republican candidate, had been talking a lot about how he had such a unique perspective, and lobbed him a softball and said, well, what makes your perspective so unique? And Houston just couldn't answer. Just had really no answer for that question. So,
and then he said,
just kind of, you know, stammered for a minute or two. And, you know, are you referring to your youth? Are you referring to, you know, what are you referring to? But, you know, eventually he said something along the lines of, you know, well, you can just look at me and the other candidate and you can tell, you know, the difference between us or something like that. And the Democratic Party, you know, seized on that quote after the AJC asked them for a reaction and called it racist, because the Deborah Gonzalez, the Democratic candidate, is Latina. So that added a new kind of a new wrinkle to the race. And this week, the latest financial disclosures for the campaigns came out, and Houston has raised about $200,000, which is
an astronomical.
A lot of money for a state house race, and he's got, you know, everybody in the leadership in the Republican Party, in the House and the Senate,
yeah,
behind him, giving him lots of money, lots of, you know, PAC contributions, things of that nature. So that really is just sort of further evidence, you know, when you look at, you know, his sort of non-answer with, you know, did you vote for Donald Trump, you know, and the image as being kind of a bipartisan, moderate-type candidate, you know, when you're when the House Speaker, David Ralston, is, you know, behind you 1,000%, and, you know,
it's obvious
he's a Republican.
He's
a Republican. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to vote Republican.
Right. And he's going to be influenced by some of the worst presences in Atlanta. Yeah. I have a lot of concern about, you know, that much money in a race. Athens is important. Mm-hmm. Athens will always be important to them. As much as they've cut it up, they've got to still hold on to it. And so Athens is important to them. I'm not surprised to see that much money coming from Atlanta. I'm not surprised at all to see it coming from developers. A lot of the money that was given to them, I'd love to see a timeline, because I think that a lot of the early, you know, kind of bipartisan support that was given him really was before he's shown colors that are so far to the right, you know. So he was supposed to be on my radio show with Deborah Gonzalez, and I said he was not willing to come on at the same time as Deborah. So he then, but he said that he would come on alone. So I split the show in 30-minute pieces to accommodate both of them. And Deborah Gonzalez agreed, and she had been the first requester. So it was really her hour to give away, and she was willing to share. But Houston backed out on the day before.
Yeah, and there was another forum a few weeks ago where he showed up for the meet and greet. It was at a Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, which is an African-American church. And left before the forum even started. So I thought that was kind of odd. You usually don't see somebody just show up for, you know, the meet and greet portion and then leave before the actual forum. Right. But
he's taking a cue from Jody Heiss.
You know, we can't just talk about Houston. I mean, I need to mention too that Deborah Gonzalez has injected this, you know, into the race as well. I mean, she was on WUOG talking about how Houston is a, you know, privileged, wealthy white male. You know, I mean, this kind of talk is coming from both directions, and it's unfortunate.
That's not typical, it seems to me, of an Athens race.
No, and I mean, I just think this is further evidence that, I mean, our local politics are getting nationalized, and I think it's really a shame that we can't, you know, that it just has to descend to this level, I guess, and, you know, we can't talk about the local issues. Everything is kind of this big national stuff. I mean, it really kind of reminds me of like Bernie and Hillary or something like that. You know, it's. Melissa, I'm sorry, you were trying to talk. So.
Well, I question Houston's willingness to, you know, really represent the community and the diversity of the community if he's not going to even show up to speak in these forums.
Right, and that's two slights to the African American community.
Exactly.
And he's getting support from like prominent people in the African American community who are ostensibly Democrats, I'm not telling anybody how to vote, but it just blows my mind that like somebody would vote for someone who doesn't agree with anything that you believe in, you know, because of his name or he's a nice guy or he's connected or something of that.
It seems collegiality trumps principle over and over and over again. You know, it's all about who you know and who you're connected with and who was nice to you rather than the actual values and experience.
Well, the other thing that trumps everything is people have got to vote. Mm-hmm. You know, we have got to, if you're driving around listening to this or sitting at home and you have not voted yet, you need to right now take a serious look at yourself and how important it is to, one, vote for T-SPLOS, that we're going to talk about in a minute, but two, if you don't have a representative election, you have T-SPLOS. If you do, and it won't take you, I tell you, it does not take 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if you do have a representative, then you need to get out and vote.
And turnout has been very low. It's going to be low. It's a special election. The last time this race was contested, it was decided by 40 votes. So, I mean, every vote makes a difference.
Small.
And this is a special election. It is a turnout game, period.
That's right.
Whichever side turns their people out is going to win.
And we think about the kind of legislation that's come through Atlanta in the past couple years. You know, we're allowing campus carry. You know, that was a big one.
The public education initiatives. These are things
that Athenians oppose en masse over and over again. So we need to make sure that we send some Democratic representatives to Atlanta so they can fight against some of this madness that's getting pushed through.
The other thing that I think is an issue that I don't know if it's getting enough coverage, but Houston is just adamantly against the expansion of Medicaid. And Deborah has done a very rational job of explaining why that's true. And in every state where Medicaid has been expanded, the benefits have gone to white working class people. And this is a great. These are people with lower jobs that really need health. And I just think that that's a really important change in Georgia. That if it doesn't come, we're going to be the loser.
Well, I don't know if he's adamantly against it, but his answer has always been, well, we don't know if the Affordable Care Act is still going to be in effect, and if it's, you know, if we know it's going to be there long term, maybe we can get some kind of waiver to do it with private insurance, which some other red states have done. It's not Medicaid expansion, but it's something, I guess. So, but I mean, we do need it, and it's hard to talk about healthcare right now because we don't really know what's going to happen with it. I mean, that's true. So.
But it's easy to talk about these federal subsidies and what you have to do as a state. That's their job, that House of Representatives especially is responsible for the budget.
They are, yeah.
It is their responsibility to figure out what are the good investments and what are the bad. And the lack of willingness to expand that is costing us money every day with young children, with I could go on and on.
I think the legislature actually was, Actually, I'm positive they were going to take a look at that this spring. And Trump has thrown all that out the window. They were going to do some kind of Medicaid expansion, I'm convinced. But now with Trump in, and, you know, they're still not letting repeal and replace go, and just the uncertainty, you know, they're not going to tackle it unless Obamacare is stabilized.
Right. But if you look at the plans that have been proffered by the Republicans so far, yes, they've all failed. But in only one did not give an advantage to those states that had full Medicaid coverage. Only one did not stop it at where it is and not allow you to grow in your investment. And Georgia is in the loser position if that happens. And like I said, only one of those plans has not included that. That's my understanding.
Well, we'll get through 2018 with that, the ACA, and then who knows what after that, because literally...
Oh, and it's open enrollment.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Enrollment is open. Yeah, it started November 1st.
Through December 15th, yes.
I believe so. They cut it down to 45 days, and they cut the advertising budget, so probably not that many people know, but, you know, if you do...
Is that Medicare?
No, I'm talking about
Affordable Care Act
in the
marketplace.
Well, that's true for Medicare right now, too. But don't worry, every private insurance company in the world will send you notices.
One thing that's unintended, some people in the middle income will actually see their premiums go down just for 2018. I was talking to a healthcare navigator about that. So that's an unintended consequence that benefits middle-income individuals and families through 2018, and then we don't know.
It's Trump not making the, I can't remember the technical term, but the payments.
For out-of-pocket.
Right.
Yeah, subsidies. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, it's...
Which is good for some people and bad for a lot of other people. A lot of people are going to see it go way up because of this, but some people, you know, who don't get the subsidies are going to see it come down.
We will definitely see more measures put forth regarding the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Obama's name on it, we're going to see some effort to do something, to do something against it. And so we also have coming up in this election, as Gwen said, T-SPLOST. There are a lot of projects on the list that if you vote for that penny, we'll see some definite changes and improvements in Athens if people support it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these projects really have the potential to transform this community and the way we get around. We're seeing you know, sidewalk improvements, bicycle infrastructure, these Greenway and Firefly Rail Trail trails, also some transit, some public transit improvements, as well as road repaving. There are a lot of complaints out there about potholes and roads that need to be repaved, so there's a big pot of money for that to happen. And there's really no other way to pay for these things in this community unless we want to put a big, fat chunk of property tax revenue in there and raise everybody's property taxes, which is the last thing we want to do. Voting for these projects and that little penny added to your sales tax is going to go a long way in really transforming the community and offering these alternative transportation means, and hopefully, you know, providing more equity in some of this infrastructure, getting to neighborhoods that have been overlooked for a long time, getting some sidewalks into some neighborhoods. So it's going to be, you know, I hope it passes. I personally hope it passes because it'll be really interesting to see, you know, how that money gets divvied up and you know, it'll be a real exciting conversation in the community as we move forward in spending that money and focusing on those projects.
Well, I really would like for people to think about how much of each dollar will be paid by people who don't pay property tax in this community, who don't contribute in any other way to the maintenance and the development of good transportation options. I think it's just amazing to me that the Georgia legislature has made it impossible for metropolitan statistical areas like Athens that serve really almost, you know, 50, 60,000 people that are different than, that are not citizens every day. That doesn't count our tourists, and we are a big destination site. And so what you end up with is a situation where that burden has got to be shared in some way. And with that crowd, this is the only way the Georgia legislature lets us do it.
Yeah, and we are the largest city in Georgia that doesn't control our gas tax dollars as well. So we have no control over anything that GDOT does, unlike Atlanta, Savannah, Macon, Columbus, other cities.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with everything that was said. I mean, you know, this is the only way. All these things that we've been saying for years that we want to do, we want more sidewalks, we want the greenway, we want Firefly Trail, you know, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
better bus service. This is the opportunity to actually get it done. And the alternative is don't do it or $427 average property tax hike.
Right. Well, to pay for it. The other thing, I think it's really important. I feel that if you look at this package, too many times I think we're only talking about Firefly Trail or bikes or pedestrian stuff, and a lot of people don't care about that. They don't ride the bus. They mm-hmm. don't ride a bike. They don't walk anywhere, and that is fine. Those people, though, profit huge from this because the car is the greatest. It's the greatest vehicle served by this money is our highways, because we're taking people off of them in some ways, but yeah. in many others we are planning our transportation. And so if anybody walks in there, I talked with someone the other day and I said, okay, well, let's look at this list. And they said, wow, I was going to vote against it because I thought, why do I pay a penny for things I don't use? But it's the bulk of this money will go to help people who do get in a car to go to work or come to town or whatever.
$26 million is going to road repaving. That's the biggest chunk of it.
That's the single biggest project. And, you know, even if you just drive everywhere, anyone who, because of this, will have the opportunity to walk, bike, or ride a bus, that's a car off the road.
Right.
So that does benefit drivers as well.
That's right.
And having nice paved roads. Who doesn't want that?
And there are some intersection improvements.
That's what I was just going to say. It's not just maintenance.
Bridges.
It's real improvements in what we're doing. And
like the Tallahassee Bridge.
Right. Mm-hmm. With all the creeks we have, all the wonderful water running through Athens. And we got a lot of bridges.
Mm-hmm.
And they cost.
And the Whitehall Road, Millage Avenue roundabout that's been needed for a long time, that's going to mm-hmm. make that intersection a lot safer.
And downtown Clayton Street's going to see those long overdue improvements. Really fixing up Clayton Street is going to bring a lot more vibrancy to downtown.
And we voted for that every time.
That's been approved. That's been hanging around
since 2005.
12 years, yeah.
Wants to know what a roundabout looks like and how attractive it is and how well it works needs to go out to Tallahassee Road.
Yeah,
it's
the White End Tallahassee intersection. It works really well.
It works beautifully, and it's pretty. It's not, you know, it's really an asset to that whole area.
Yeah, been on that. You're right. But we need it at Whitehall. That is a...
Yeah, that's a really dangerous intersection because you can't see, you know, because of the angle. So,
right.
But anyway.
That'll help so many drivers every day, so many drivers. I know, Melissa, you were also interested in the impact when it comes to, you know, alternative transportation.
Well, you know, the day after T-SPLOST passes, hopefully, November 8th, we need to start talking about what are going to be the impacts of these improvements and these amenities that are going to come into communities. And we need to talk about overlay districts, you know, overlays along our greenways and our Firefly. So we have some design guidelines and some new rules on how new development interfaces with those trails. And also we need to talk about affordable housing mandates. We see what's happened in Atlanta along the Beltline, where, you know, the cost of living anywhere near the Beltline is through the roof and people are getting pushed out of communities. We need to make sure that we have some mechanisms in place to assure that people don't get pushed out and that new development accommodates affordable housing. So that's the conversation that's going to have to start happening very seriously on November 8th.
We'll definitely be having discussions next week about this after the election and we know the results.
Yeah.
There are conversations happening amongst the Greenway Commission and Firefly folks already. So I think they're ready to have that conversation.
And we can move on now to the amphitheater or arena. Is it a done deal?
Well, it's not amphitheater or arena anymore. There was a time when the DDA and the Classic Center were both looking at the same piece of land, the DDA for an amphitheater that's in the downtown master plan, and then the Classic Center for an arena. But now with this arena proposed for Commerce Road, that's probably putting an end to any talk of the arena downtown. Of the amphitheater downtown. So that does kind of, I think, pave the way for Paul Kramer to get his arena on that property.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me. The Stegman Coliseum is it's almost solidly booked throughout the year. It's hard to get something in to the Coliseum, even in the summer when they have conventions. And so there's a 10,000 that has filled up. Right now, you can put almost 6,000 into into the Classic Center's arena, which is really pretty impressive.
Is it that big? I don't think it's that big.
Well,
I think the total capacity for the whole Classic Center, I think, is like 7.
When they did the Young People's Christian Conference that was here, they had 6,000 people there. I went.
Oh yeah, but in the whole thing, not just the.
No. In that room, they had a square, and it almost looked like a wrestling match was going to happen. It was a big square stadium stage right in the middle, and then the whole thing was solid people. It was amazing, but it can't do that every.
If everybody was standing up and they packed them
right,
in there,
and we can't do that when we got a conference going on because that room is used so. Whether or not there is use is going to be very interesting. Arena and amphitheater, they need to keep them very separate in people's minds because the, amphitheater is, so big and it's private.
Right.
And the arena is enclosed so that it doesn't have a weather problem. It is not as limited in its use. Amphitheater is private and the other is $70 million. So there's a big difference there. And if we don't keep them, we got to educate the public very carefully and make sure that we can show them that it is, that it's a good argument for both of them.
Well, I mean, that's what Paul Kramer is saying. He's saying they can coexist. And, of course, they hashed this all out long ago. But, the amphitheater is privately funded. It does have to go through the planning process. So I think, it's when people hear this, it will have already gone through the planning commission. But then there will be another meeting in December before it goes to the mayor and commission. And then the arena will be a much different process because that's going to be partially funded, or not going to be, but Kramer wants it to be partially funded by SPLOST.
And partially means $70 million.
Well, no, he told me he's got some private investment on board, so he didn't give me a figure, but he said it's not going to be the whole $70 million. So,
That's great.
It might make it a little easier sell. I mean, I think it's going to be tough, especially given the expansion that was on SPLOS 2011 that was not very popular and really only got on the list kind of by the skin of its teeth. He's done, kind of a brief study, that's got some numbers in it. I mean, the numbers look good. It looks like it would be profitable, like it would, it would pay for itself. I'm waiting to see, really the more in-depth proposal that's made in late winter, early spring.
That chunk of land, land is at a premium downtown. And that chunk of land that they're proposing to build this arena on, you got to think, what other highest and best and more profitable and more community benefiting uses might be out there for it. We see over and over again in communities that do invest in these arenas or stadiums or whatever that it doesn't always pan out. And considering, if there are going to be public funds invested in that, we need to make sure that there aren't other public projects out there that are better deserving of those funds.
Well, I agree with a lot of what's been saying, but one of the things I really believe in is that speed loss means special. And our community needs to take a hard look at the uses that we make of T-SPLOS, which is mostly maintenance and a lot of things that we need to be doing anyway on an ongoing basis. And because if you look at those road projects, they don't have operating costs. Well, we know they do have operating costs, but what we're doing is we're redoing them and avoiding the maintenance on them. And that's a dangerous situation to where we get into, where these SPLOS, that's this penny, is paying for our core needs. We're using short-term monies for long-term needs, and that is not good planning. So back and forth we go, but at least these things are special ideas, and they do add significantly new assets to our community. That's what that penny, I think, should, a large part of it should be doing.
Well, let's wait and see what other special things
that's right.
are proposed.
God knows what. I mean,
you know, this is a big chunk of money, and mm-hmm. you know, I want to see how much of the SPLOS is going to take up, and right. what else, right. what other ideas are out there, what other proposals are going to be made,
and who in our community benefits from it.
Yeah,
that's crucial. We need to look at the diversity of our community and see what the real needs and desires are. You know, if we're going to start spending more sales tax on special projects, we need to make sure they're special projects that appeal to a diversity of the community.
I would like to see more development facing the Greenway and facing Firefly Trail like you see on the Beltline in Atlanta, and I don't think that we have seen that with a lot of the development like the Mark, which they knew was going to be along Firefly Trail, and yet they pretty much ignored it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really like the way the Mark is interfacing with the Firefly Trail. It gives it it broadens the green space, and it gives it some real separation in the same way that it's in. And I don't, the fact that we're getting that, I won't say who, but some people are so excited about getting a filling station on the green on the Firefly Trail. That is not my idea. If we have no more control over what commercial entities and what kind of look people are going to have when they're walking on the Firefly Trail than that, then I am concerned.
Yeah. Which is why we need some new guidelines and some standards.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I thought the same thing about the Quick Trip, though, but then I did some research and I found out that they actually have a model that they do this. They're building these types of things on greenways all over the country, and they're, you know, they are gas stations, but they're more of like a cafe.
Oh, that sounds great.
They've got
great.
Like a patio facing the trail and everything like that, and they have food and coffee.
Yeah, well, that's
great.
Palatable.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're ending on a note of agreement. I want to thank my guests, Blake Odd, Gwen O'Looney, and Commissioner Melissa Link. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.